Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is David Clark. I'm glad to be with you again today. Hello, everyone joining by Facebook, everyone listening on the radio, on the web, around the world, everywhere. Thank you for joining us. It's a nice, gloomy, overcast day today, but I'm glad to be here with you. I'm just thankful for a little rain. We need it. I'm praying that God will bless you this morning with the word. I have some scriptures to read to you. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you to all the guys that are watching from Baker Correctional, from all the different facilities that we go to. Brother Ledford goes to different ones that are watching. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm glad to be with you today. If you want to contact us, the email address is spelled out, brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com. Sometimes I forget to put that out there, but you're always welcome to email with questions or prayer requests, and we'll be glad to receive those from you. brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com. All right, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read some scriptures here, and we're going to actually overflow into chapter 3 and chapter 4. So if you want to follow along with us. Again, thank you to everyone who is supporting us, everyone who is, you know, giving us the, comments and, compliments on the broadcast. I appreciate it. It's an encouragement to me. I really appreciate your support. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 19, we're going to start. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let's read that verse again. I've got more to read, but it will do good to read that again. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Listeria, and persecutions I endured. But out of them all of the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus that suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let's read 14 again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. He did not say that he would be a work in progress. He said he would be perfect. Listen to me. Scripture. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make foolproof thy ministry. I want to focus this morning on two verses. First of all, verse number 19 in the second chapter, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then in chapter number 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want to talk about a departure from the departure. Now here in the book of Timothy, we are reading about how that the church ought to depart from iniquity. The body of Christ that names the name of Christ ought to depart from iniquity. But what is iniquity? Webster's defines iniquity as immoral or grossly unfair behavior. Anything that is immoral. The Bible calls sin anything. Chapter 4 says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It becomes iniquity in my life whenever I know that something is right for me to do or wrong for me to do, and I go opposite of what the Bible says. If I know it's right to feed the poor and I do not feed the poor, it's a sin to me. If I know that it's wrong to go to the juke joint and entertain worldly lusts and worldly pleasures, then it's a sin to me. But listen to me. There has been a group of people that have known these scriptures. They have been taught this, as the writer here explains. This is things that you've known, things that you've been, the word, assured of. Verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. I want to address this. I know we've got people of all different walks of life listening and watching today, but I want to talk to a select few. I just feel like this is for somebody that maybe you have known the truth in your life. Maybe you have known the scriptures in your life, and maybe you used to live according to this word. Maybe you used to live a good sanctified life, a good life that is pure and holy before God, and there has been a going back to that. There's been a return to what you had previously departed from. There is a great departure from the departure. Do you understand? We at one time stood for God. We at one time would abhor evil. We would stand against sin. We would come against the powers of hell. We would stand against anything that did not represent Scripture. We would stand against anything that the church teaches is wrong, that this Bible teaches is sin. We used to stand against it, but now we allow anything and everything. We have departed from what we have previously departed from. We have returned like a dog to vomit. We've went back to that thing and we've taken part in it again. What we used to depart from, we have returned to. And that, my friends, is evidence that this scripture is coming to pass. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. How is that evident? Because the Bible and what it teaches no longer matters. What the Bible says about sin is no longer important to folks because they're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They would prefer to please their flesh. They would prefer to please their pride and please their ego than they would to obey the Holy Scriptures in the Word of God. Friends, the Bible said this would happen in the last days. Men will have itching ears and men will seek out teachers that'll soothe them, and men will give, they'll give way to false teachings and to fables, and they'll be deceived by the masses. We're seeing that today, friends. Every church in America at some point has been affected by this. Whether your church is Bible believing, you have lost folks to one that is not Bible believing. Whether your church used to be Bible believing and now it teaches another gospel, we have felt the effects of this coming true in every congregation in America. But I want to submit to you this morning that there is still hope for the bride of Christ. There is still going to be a church that is spotless and that is holy. There is still going to be a remnant of people that stand for the truth of God's word in a wicked day, friends. Who is that people? It's the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ, the things that we used to know and used to be assured of. Verse number 14, listen, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let me ask you a question, and I don't want to stir up controversy, but I want to tell you this word of God will stir up controversy. It's not David Clark this morning trying to stir controversy. It's the word of God that's going to separate sheep from goats. Let me ask you a question. When you used to live for God, when you used to live by this Bible, when you used to serve God and love Him, when you used to have a Christ-like attitude, when you used to do the things this Bible says, when you used to stand against evil, when you used to have some type of a moral compass and convictions, were you wrong then or are you wrong now? Who was it that you learned it from? Did you study the pages of this blessed book and hear it from the word of God himself and hear it straight from, as we say, from the horse's mouth? Or were you led astray by some wind of doctrine? When did you learn of the things you departed from? Were you assured of them? And if you were, what caused you to turn away from it, friend? We're seeing folks drop out of the church on a daily basis. It's breath, it's heartbreaking. It destroys the heart of people that fellowship with those that fall out with God, and they run out and leave a church or leave God altogether and go back out into the world. It crushes our spirits because we know the deception that is waiting. We know what the enemy's trying to do. But friends, what turns their hearts against what they know? What turns their hearts against the truth of God that they were once assured of? I know that I'm not the only one that's heard someone say, well, I know that I know. Well, I would never go back to the world. I would never turn around. I would never do that. I would never take part in that. And something happens that causes an upset, or maybe just a lapse in their prayer life, maybe just letting down their guard a little bit. They give the devil a little leeway, and all of a sudden, they're doing the very things they said they would never do. They're taking part in the sin. Their homes are destroyed. Their families are destroyed. Their life is in a mess. Many have lost their own lives. Today they're in a devil's hell because they did the thing they said they'd never do. What caused them to turn away from the blessed truth of this gospel? Friends, I want to tell you that God is never going to deceive you. God himself is never going to lie to you. If this word of God has told you how to live, friends, you can stand on it. You can depend on it. If the Bible says it's wrong forever. If the Bible says it's sin forever. If the Bible says it's good forever. If the Bible says it's pleasing and acceptable, you can take it to the bank. What was it that persuaded you in a different direction? I know there are folks listening, like I said, from all different walks of life. But this morning, my heart is geared towards that one. You knew the truth of the gospel. You knew the truth of God's word. You know how to live holy. You've heard the word of God preached from the pulpit. You've heard the word of God taught out of these scriptures. You've read it for yourself. It's been revealed to you in your own personal prayer time. You know what it is to live a consecrated life to God. Yet somehow, something in your mind has changed. Something in your spirit has changed. And there's been a turning away from what you used to depart from. Now you're going back towards. Now you're going back on what you said was your convictions. Friend, listen, I'm not here to tell you what you got to do or not do. This Bible is the authority. I'm not the authority. This word of God is. But I want to tell you, we've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to continue in this straight and narrow way. There is nowhere to turn around. Let me tell you an example of what I'm talking about. I was taking my driver's test when I was 16 to get my license to drive, you know, and have my operator's permit. I had to do what's called a three-point turn. And the driver that went, the instructor that went with me, I was in a little stick shift Ford Ranger, my dad's truck. We were on a little one-lane road out in McClendon, just a real little lane, a little narrow road. And she asked me to stop and do a three-point turn. Well, that three-point turn turned into a six-point turn. Because I had to go forward and back up, go forward, back up, there was no room. I had to make room. That road was designed to go one way, friend. It was intended for someone to continue in the way. This morning, this way that we are on is made for us to continue. You can't go back unless you forcefully turn around and abandon what you know. I want to know this morning, what was it that caused you to turn around? What was it that convinced you that this way was not right? What was it that convinced you to lower your standards? What was it that was whispering in your ear, telling you to doubt everything that you know, when in your heart you can feel the drawing in your heart? You can feel the Spirit of God as he whispers to you that he still loves you and that he's still with you. What was it that caused you to depart? I want to talk about departure from the departure. We once stood in this straight and narrow way. We once revered the things of God. We once held up the banner that said we believe in holiness. We once held up the banner that said we still believe in righteousness. But there has been a departure from that departure, friends. We used to not be ashamed to say we believe in sanctification. You can't say that word hardly now without people getting offended at you. We used to be proud that we were the church of Jesus Christ. We used to be glad to share the word of God with somebody. We used to be thankful when people would ask us, where do you go to church? You look like somebody that go to church. You just have a joy about you, the smile on your face. You look like one of his. But that has slowly faded now, friends, where when we see people from the church, I don't want to be labeled among that number. Listen, I'll tell you something. I've walked into the supermarket before. I've had people hide behind the shelves. Didn't want to come in contact with nobody. Let me tell you something. When I was a sinner and I spotted people from the church, I didn't want to be around them either. What is it? It's sin in the heart of a man that causes them to feel conviction in their heart when they're around this body of Christ. Not that I can condemn anybody because I'm a man, but this word of God that's alive on the inside of me, the spirit of God that lives in his church, listen to me. The world does not want to mingle or mix with that. But listen, we have departed from the faith. We've departed from what we know. And I just want to know, was it true then or is it true now? If it was true and it was right, then what are we doing in the church today? Departing from the only hope of salvation. Departing from the way that is straight and narrow. Friends, there's only one way. There's only one road. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Christ. And that way of Christ is a narrow road. It's a narrow way. It's straight. It's a tight road to go, but it's right. We cannot depart from this faith. Listen to me. In verse number 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch." Let's go down. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers will wax worse, deceiving and being deceived." When you set out in this way to serve God, friend, you were not signing up for a fun time. We didn't enlist in this army of God for a time of pleasure and a time of fellowship. We did not sign up in this army of God for everything to go our way. We belong to him. We're sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. I belong to him. It's not always going to go my way. I'm not always going to agree with everything. It's not always going to seem fair to me, but it doesn't have to seem fair to me. The only thing that has to line up is this word of God. I just have to please God in all things. I want to know, when did we depart from it? When did we turn from it? And how do we get back to the truth of God's word, friends? Jesus is coming. Let me just say this. Jesus is coming, friends. It doesn't matter what got you where you are today. It doesn't matter how many years of hurt has been piled up on the inside. It doesn't matter what the pastor did to you. It doesn't matter who lied on you. It doesn't matter who talked about you. It doesn't matter what the devil said in your ear. The only thing that matters, and you hear me this morning, the only thing that matters is that Jesus is coming, and we're all going to stand before him and give an account, and there won't be any excuses. "Well, Lord, I was hurt. Well, Lord, I was offended. Well, Lord, they said this about me. Well, Lord, they made fun of me. Well, Lord, they didn't accept me. I just didn't feel like I fit in over here." Find the will of God for your life and get in it. Get in the word of God and please God. It is time this morning. It is time. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. What are we doing with our time, friends? I feel an urgency behind this message this morning to let the church know that we've turned away from this thing, but it's time. God is calling folks back to him. You've been listening to all kinds of different things. It's time to come back to right living. It's time to come back to the word of God being preached. It's time to come back to the altar of prayer. It's time to come back to consecration to God's word. It is time for the church to return to what she knows. Then and only then are we going to be a church of power, a church of authority, a church that is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We want to know why we can't work signs and wonders, because the church has strayed from what she knows. We've strayed from this word of God. We have allowed sin and iniquity to come between us and God. Listen, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity." Depart from iniquity. We used to stand against it, but now we bring it in the sanctuary. I'm going to make some people mad here, but I feel the unction to do it. Listen, we used to call it sin, but now we welcome it in the sanctuary. We used to call it irreverent to carry a glass of water, some coffee, a cappuccino, a bagel in the sanctuary, sit there and fall asleep on the pew and while the preacher's preaching. Listen, we used to revere the things of God. We used to call this word holy and infallible, and we treat it like it's a magazine, friends. We used to believe in dressing our best to go to the house of God. I know that's controversial. It ought not to be. We used to believe in doing our part to be good, loving people, kind people. We used to abstain from all different types of sin. We used to want to stay out of the places of the world. We used to want to be separate, but something has happened, and we no longer want to depart iniquity, but we're running back to it at a rapid pace. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be a church that flees iniquity. Listen to me this morning. I was very aware whenever the Lord gave me this message that it was not going to win no popularity contest. But I want to tell you, it's the truth anyhow. It's the truth. Let the word of God be the judge. Let the word of God separate sheep from goats this morning. If you have erred, if you have gone away from what you once held dear, it's time to return. Friends, you're not doing it for me. You're not. I got to answer for myself. You're not doing it for me or anybody else. It's between you and God. But if you have strayed, if you've allowed things in your life that you once stood against, that you once were assured, and you assured everyone, I am convinced that this is the way of God. I am convinced that this is a conviction. I am convinced that this is the way I've got to live. And you turned away from it, friend. You got to return back to the old paths this morning. It's time to walk in them. Listen, you know what it's going to take. This word of God is infallible. You get to reading in this New Testament, it'll let you know right quick like what's sin and what's not. Brother David don't have to give you a cheat sheet. But if you'll get in this word this morning and you'll follow what it says, it'll lead you right. This word won't ever tell you something that ain't right. You can get under a lot of preachers that'll say everything's all right. Just do whatever you want to. Just live like you want to. Everything will be all right. Just pray one time. It's settled in heaven forever. But friend, this word of God said the church is to depart from sin. Depart from sin. I got a lot more to cover here, but I'm going to run out of time. I want to ask you. When did it change? When did the gospel message of Jesus Christ change? When did it become okay for us to live like we want to? When did it become okay? Well, they have to do that, but I'm the exception. There are no exceptions, friend. There is the rule. There is the law. There is the word of God. And then there is the church that must obey the word of God. We're going to be judged by this right here, friends. And nothing that I can do or say can change it. My life must line up with this word of God. I'm going to give an account for it. The churches in our area, the churches in this modern age, the churches here, right here in Jacksonville, we have strayed to such an incredible degree away from what we used to believe. We talk about the old days. We talk about the old times. We talk about how it used to be. We talk about how God used to move. We talk about how the Spirit of God used to work miracles in our midst. The problem is we don't want to live like they lived. We don't want to do what they did. But friend, this Bible won't change. This Bible's not going to conform to me. This Bible is not going to appease me. God's not going to say, well, I'll let that scripture slide since you're having a hard time with it. Friends, we must depart from iniquity. We must depart. I love you all this morning. I want you to know that I'm not mad at anybody. I love you. That's why I'm telling you the truth this morning. I got to. I'm going to be held accountable. I got to. I got to tell you this morning that Jesus is coming back. I want you to go. I want to take everybody. I want us to all go together. I don't want to see anybody missing from that rapture. I want us to all be there. When we stand before God, I want us to all be rejoicing together. But friends, it's going to take somebody who is bought. It's going to take somebody who is living this word of God. I'm out of time. I love all of you. I'm praying for you. I pray that you'll tune in again next Sunday morning at 8:30. I love you. This is David Clark. And if you want to write in, Brother David on the air at gmail.com, I pray that you'll get up, find somewhere to go to church this morning. Let's worship God. He's worthy. He's worthy. I can't think of a better thing to do on a Sunday morning than to get in God's house. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.